A former Brigadier General in the South African Air Force has been jailed in the United States for spying. With me is Desmond Opperman, a senior analyst with Fulcrum Analytics. Welcome, Desmond.
Good morning to your audience, and thank you so much for inviting me.
You're welcome. Let's talk about Portia Anyamba. She was in quite a sensitive position as Program Management Operational Specialist in the National Security Program Office, part of the Manhattan Project at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory. Do we know how she got into that position?
Look, to get into that position, first of all, she had to occupy an official position in South Africa, so one can take. And I think I must just reiterate this with your audience. We are working with the information currently at hand. So mind if we're going to move a bit into not speculation, but the most likely scenarios at play. Went to the US and ended up at the central nuclear energy center of the United States, which is quite a central, economically speaking, position for the United States. At that point in time, she did not have access to sensitive information. Okay, let's make that clear. Then there is this whole process of the FBI where you have to go through a clearance process. And this is where the question starts arising. If the report is correct, and if I look at the FBI report, I had a look at the FBI report this morning. She clearly had no qualms about hiding her contact with state security agency officials, be it references or be it mentioned. The FBI does refer to certain falsified information that was shared with the FBI, and that is quite serious. I mean, she should have known. If there's one thing in the United States you don't do, is when you apply for such a clearance or such a process, you stick to the truth, which tells me, Chris, that she had she had very little training. If we are going to start talking about a type of a covert agent, remember she has not been charged under a Foreign Espionage Act. It's two other acts at play in the United States, and that is critical, and that explains the light sentence that she actually got. Because, of course, if it was for foreign espionage, it would have been much, much harsher. So my eyes at this point is not so much on her, but the person handling her. For me, that speaks of amateur, pathetic operational management of such type of sources. And this is where my concern lies at this point in time.
Well, for some other reason, the FBI had this agent, this state security agency official, under surveillance, and they picked up that he was meeting with her. At some point, she left a meeting with a computer, a laptop, and then the FBI intercepted her on her way to another meeting and retrieved that laptop. So you spent over 20 years in South African intelligence services. Do you know whether declared agents in the States are routinely under surveillance by the FBI and that is how this could have been picked up?
Because let me just make a distinction here. If you are going as a declared member in a diplomat, as in the diplomacy, you would know this, diplomatic mission, you are under surveillance. You will be under surveillance. You will be tracked. There is no two ways about it, pending which state you go to. I am starting, and I was playing around with scenarios before our podcast, that she was contacted by someone in the embassy. And I could be wrong, but that is most plausible. How can you ask a person working at that energy facility to meet you at a coffee house with your laptop? It does not make sense. That's the last thing you will do. Thirdly, if This was the case that a declared member of SSA has picked her up. Why was this not communicated back to SSA in South Africa, handed over to the appropriate people? Because you must remember, the moment you go into COVID recruitment, there are four factors at play. They call it the MICE paradigm, M-I-C-E. Okay, the first one is money. I do not think money has played such a big role. Yeah, I think what played a role in her case that made her vulnerable could have been her ideology, could have been her commitment to South Africa. Because although there are not a lot of social media postings, those that are there, and I had a look at them this morning, did say clearly that she is committed to South Africa. She wants the best for South Africa. Bob's your uncle for the handler. You can move in and you can use that to your advantage. Financially, I do not know her financial position. I don't want to speculate on that because of your audience. But if I look at the profile of what I have, if I look at her lifestyle and being in the United States, I do not foresee that any financial gains would have convinced her to go this far. But my question remains, how did the operator think in making these calls I have just listed? It smacks of anything against intelligence statecraft. It is unacceptable.
I was astonished that he had sent a message or told her to remember to bring the laptop.
That and meeting in a public place. You are a declared member. Now you are. Let's say it was someone from the embassy. Or let's say it was someone else. Why still meet at a public place knowing full well, because remember the value here is her access and where she works, and you want to protect that. And for any country now, energy is a critical factor. So taking a laptop with and then meeting in a public place is exposing both her and the handler. And I'm telling you now, the FBI will have photos of that meeting that has taken place between the two of them.
You know, he was identified in court documents as 10-1. Apparently, he was stationed at the embassy in Washington.
There we go. And that then brings us back. If you are stationed as an intelligence officer, you do not become a diplomat. You remain an intelligence officer. Yes, you have to see people. Yes, you have to meet people. But these contacts must be open. Call it journalists, call it experts, call it professors, people that will not raise red flags. And here comes the person, takes this step, and now the focus shifts completely. The other scenario, Chris, I am, and please again, I'm playing with scenarios, plausible scenarios. Is this the ideal situation that the Trump government has been waiting for? To heat up mudsling South Africa yet again with another case? Yes, we had cases in the past. You will know about that. The Zimbabwean Five, the Trift, I think you can remember that was one of the biggest cases ever we had. But they are far and few between. They do not happen that frequently. Either they're not reported or we're simply not aware of them. But this one comes at a very convenient time for politicians in America to say, so you are part of BRICS. You want access now to my energy sensitive information. What is your game plan? It is playing right into the hands. And that's another scenario we cannot ignore.
Healthcare matters, but what matters most?
Having cover for the people who keep this business going.
Bonitas is there for you when it comes. Bonitas Medical Aid for South Africa. Visit bonitas.co.za and find your plan.
You mean they might not have made a big deal of it if it had not been politically expedient for Trump?
Yes, irrespective of all, and really these days it's getting to me the anti-pro narrative. clickbaits running all over. I think one has to be careful. As a professional intelligence officer, be it FBI, be it SSA, whoever is in power is never your focus. It is the interest of the country that is now at play. But the politician will, needless to say, use all intelligence to the benefit of the political party, of his position, and seeking substantiating for what he has been saying. How he's going to link it to a so-called genocide, that could be an interesting theory. We know Trump likes to make...
make big jumps.
Big jumps and making sweeping statements. But I do think the timing here cannot be ignored. But I keep on coming back to this. I think, let's just be honest as South Africans. Look, in the state security agency, we're going through restructuring. We know that a local structure is going to be established. I could have the names wrong. Bear with me. It's going to be the South African Intelligence Agency. And then you're going to have a foreign branch, the South African Secret Agency. And then you're going to have a vetting department. What astonished me is that they are going to have, in terms of what I've heard from multiple sources, which I can say is credible, a department only focusing on terrorism. That was quite interesting, and I immediately asked the question, so who is setting our priorities? Is it the grey listing, or is it the realities we are facing on the ground? I'm not saying terrorism is not, you know how I feel about terrorism. In my analysis, I've shared it all over. People know where I stand. But at the end of the day, I do think, and I'm not saying this negatively against any media house, but I think Daily Maverick should have just taken a step back here and do more proper investigation that it will enable you and I to sit down with far more facts at play, which we do not have.
I just want to go back to her plea deal. She pleaded guilty to acting as an agent for South Africa. She pleaded guilty to supplying false information because when she was asked whether she had had contact with officials from foreign powers in the past 7 years, she said no.
Which, listen to the sentence. In the past. Now, as a brigadier, it's a senior level. Has there been a liaison with a state security agency? Most likely. Or did she refer to being handled as an informant? And this is the distinction we have to make here. Because if I read the article and I look at the research I've done, I still do not see that information was actually handed over by her to a specific handler, be it in the diplomatic circles or be it in South Africa. And I think that is why she was not at the end of the day found guilty on the Foreign Espionage Act, because there was simply no evidence available. But I do think the state security agency must look beyond the headline here and say, what went wrong here? Who made contact? Who set up the meeting? What was the reason for setting up the meeting? Because when you have a COVID, and I'm talking COVID agent, and Chris, recruiting a COVID agent is a highly complex issue. They have to live up to a very specific profile. It's not an easy lifestyle. Many people are, you know, this is not the James Bond idea what we are reading about. We are seeing the opposite here, the harsh realities of intelligence and how it can backfire if your handler has not been trained. And I, looking at the state security agency, I think this is where we are going to find a few false lies, because I think this is what has happened to her. That she has been picked up by the FBI for other reasons, yes, no doubt. She was already in trouble. But the way the article is presented already accuses her of being a foreign agent. I don't think she was a foreign agent. I don't think the intent was to be a foreign agent, but that she was contacted, and now I'm speculating that she believes she did the right thing, is most likely at play. But even here, as a former brigadier, she has the right to determine and say, I'm not meeting you here. I'm not bringing my laptop here. I will meet you here, which tells me she has very little understanding on the nature and the operational tactics of being a covert agent. I rather see an access of convenience and opportunity that no one planned for and that was rushed into, and that led to where we are today.
I must say, I did pick up a level of naivety here when she contacted individuals she listed as references and told them, I have just gotten information that they have started with interviews that are sensitive about foreign connections, so please don't mention anything about the embassy.
And that because she knows, the moment she is going to say that she has contact with personnel in the foreign intelligence, in diplomatic circles, the FBI will look at whom? Will look at, and then if it is the intelligence person, will start investigating that link. And that will then bounce back as an agent. A very simple thing, and I think it's already been done by me, is to look at Bitcoin, is to look at money flows and to see if there were additional payments made to her that she has to account for. I don't know if you have picked it up. I have most definitely not picked it up as you and I are talking now. Is it an option? It has to be investigated.
Well, we now sit with a former Brigadier General of the South African Air Force in a federal prison in the United States. Thank you, Jasmine. That was Jasmine Opperman, Senior Analyst of Fulcrum Analytics. Speaking to BizNews, I'm Christine.
Start your day a step ahead. BizNews Insider. It delivers the business stories that matter every morning straight to your inbox. Sharp, fast, and free. Subscribe now. In uncertain times, good information is priceless. The BizNews Conference is heading back to the Drakensberg. Join me, Alec Hogg, from the 11th to the 14th of August for BNC 9. Champagne Sports Resort, where it all began and where our community gathers for honest conversations, smart investing insights, and direct access to some of South Africa's sharpest minds. Come and rub shoulders with the best we've got. 28 keynote speakers, 3 days. Seats are available now. Book your seat by clicking the link in the description.